Well, church, I'm excited. Before you're seated, I want to. If you got your Bibles with you, I want you to turn to just Exodus, if you could, for me. I believe God is already moving, and we don't want to get in the way. I don't want to get in the way. And tonight, I want to share just a quick thought with you that the Lord placed on my heart, and it's out of Exodus, chapter 3, starting at verse 1. We're just going to read down to verse 8, but the Bible says, "Now Moses was tending to the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, 'I will turn aside and see the great sight, why the bush has not burned.' So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he replied, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Don't draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place of where you stand is holy ground.' Moreover, he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrows. So I've come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites.'" And tonight I'm excited to share just a quick thought with you that's titled this: God has not forgotten about you. Look at your neighbor and say, God has not forgotten about you. Let's pray. Father, you're already having your way tonight. So today, Father, we ask that the same way that we walked in won't be the same way that we walked out. We thank you, God, for what you want to do. We ask that you open up our hearts and that you open up our minds, that we would receive all that you have for us. This is not about any name other than your name, God. And so today, here we are with our hands open and our hearts open, ready to receive it all. So have your way in Jesus' mighty name. And we all say, amen. You may be seated. You know, it's amazing about the scriptures that the Bible first opens chapter 3 with Moses tending to the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. Right before Exodus chapter 3 and Exodus 2, we get to a marking moment in Moses' life. Before leading the Israelites out of Egypt, Moses had done something really significant, and he would go and kill an Egyptian man. The Bible describes that he would then, after killing the man, flee to the wilderness where he would shepherd sheep for 40 years. Moses killed this Egyptian taskmaster who was beating on a Hebrew slave. Pharaoh found out. Moses, out of the fear of what Pharaoh would do for his repercussions, ended up fleeing. And the Bible describes of what we get brought into in Exodus chapter 3, that Moses would be found in a place in Midian tending sheep for 40 years. Moses went from being a prince to being a homeless fugitive overnight after killing this man. During those years, though, Moses was living not as a prince, but Moses was living as an obscured shepherd. For 40 years, Moses didn't even have a flock of his own to shepherd sheep. The Bible describes that he was really tending the sheep of his father-in-law. And for 40 years, this was the position that Moses stayed at. Now, I want you to consider this. He was in a prince position. And now these 40 years that go by, he's just in the back of a desert tending another man's sheep. And the Bible describes that as he was tending this sheep, that the Lord began to speak to Moses through what we know in Scripture, and it's the burning bush. It wasn't that Moses saw just a burning bush appear. It wasn't uncommon for bushes just to ignite in this specific desert at this time. Things like this happened, but what Moses was being brought into is that the bush that was burning was doing something different than the rest of the bushes. The Bible describes that the bush was not being consumed in any way. And Moses looking at this fire and looking at this, was getting ready to experience something that was going to change really the course of his life forever. But tonight I want you to consider something about this burning bush story. Oftentimes we read it and we think about the phenomenon and we think about how good or how miraculous this really is. But I want you to consider something of what this burning bush would eventually foreshadow for you and I. See, this burning bush, I believe, foreshadows Jesus at the cross. The burning bush would eventually become a picture of the cross to come. The Hebrew word used to describe this bush comes from the word to stick or to prick, meaning that this is a thorn bush. We can think of the cross when we think of this story, where Jesus, crowned with thorns, endured the fires of judgment and yet was not consumed by them. Tonight, I want to encourage you, as you think about this story, to picture Jesus throughout the entire thing. Moses is seeing this burning bush, and he's recognizing the power of what he was witnessing. And all of a sudden, as he's watching it, something began to shift in Moses' heart. And I think it's something that God is looking for you and I to take a look at today. Moses is seeing this burning bush, and he's recognizing the power of what he was witnessing. And suddenly his attention began to change. I can imagine Moses for 40 years seeing burning bushes catching on fire in this desert area. But this time his attention began to change for what he was seeing. For this bush that wasn't being consumed started to grab Moses' attention. And it shows us really that what I believe God desires for you and I, that when he shows up, our attention should completely change every time. Moses is experiencing really this miraculous moment, and he suddenly begins to change his attention. And the Bible begins to describe that when he was looking, he began to turn aside to see. And you see, when he turned aside, that's when God began to speak to Moses. It was because he had his attention. It was because there was something different about Moses' posture of what he was witnessing when God showed up. Often God's word doesn't touch our heart in a way that it might simply because we're not giving God our full attention. Sometimes God shows up in such a way in our lives that we don't even recognize it's him. We look at things that seem like the same common theme of a burning bush. Could you imagine if Moses just treated the burning bush the same way that he ought to see all the other bushes? If he didn't shift his attention, he would have missed a moment. And it made me start to recognize and really ask myself, how many times have I missed the moment with God when God shows up in a way that seems common, but in reality, he's trying to get my attention differently? So often, God is showing up in our lives. So often, he's trying to give us a word. He's trying to speak to us. He's trying to do something significant. He's trying to show us where he's trying to take us. But we sometimes brush it off thinking that it's just the same common things. Today, I want to introduce a different thought to you. That in the simple things, the things that seem common, have you opened up your heart to see the fullness of what God is trying to do through those areas? Moses decided to change his attention in this area, and God began to speak. You know what's amazing about this story? It's not that the bush was just this spectacular phenomenon. Although it was, and it wasn't being consumed, and it was just staying on fire. You know what's amazing about this? Is that nothing changed in Moses until he received the word of God that came from that bush. Nothing changed. It wasn't that the miracle itself was the burning bush, but the miracle in it was that God was in it speaking to him. Some of us are so consumed by the miracles that we're praying and believing for, and we don't even realize how often God is speaking to us in it. There was a word that was coming from the bush. The phenomenon wasn't just the burning bush. It was the word that came from it. And some of us are like this with God. He performs miracle after miracle in our lives, inviting us to surrender our hearts, inviting us to deepen our faith. Yet too often we desire to see what God can do only for us rather than recognizing the words that he's trying to speak to us through them. There are words that God's trying to speak to us. We're so consumed by the only things that we're praying and believing for. And we're going, God, I need this outcome. And God's going, but it's me in it. It's me that I'm trying to get your attention to. I can perform the miracle, but can you see me in it? Can you see me in it? Can you hear my words in it? Can you see what I'm trying to do in it? It's why we celebrate the miracles and we recognize them, but we rebuttal the moment that God wants to change our hearts because of it. It's in the words that bring transformation. It's in God's words that transforms our hearts. The miracle can change our life, but it's his words that transform our hearts. Tonight, I don't want to challenge us to really see the fullness of these, the power of these words. I want us to take a look at the miracle, what this miracle moment did for Moses. It brought him into a territory he had not known yet. It brought him into a space that he had not seen before. And when he got to that space, something significant began to happen. The Bible describes in verse 4 that God began to call Moses by his name. He sees the burning bush. He sees the angel of the Lord, what the Bible describes as God being in the burning bush. And then immediately right after that, as he turns aside, the Bible describes that God began to speak to Moses. And the first thing that he says is, "Moses, Moses." God's first words to Moses were calling him by his name. And this shows us that even though Moses was now an obscure shepherd in the backside of the desert after killing a man, I want you to see that God had not forgotten Moses in any kind of way. In the same way that God has not forgotten you. Many of us in this room have done the same things over and over for years after years. And we're going, "God, have you remembered me? Have you remembered the purpose inside of me? Have you forgotten what you've called me to?" And God, just like Moses, is calling you by name to remind you that he has not forgotten about you and the purpose that he's placed inside you. "Moses, Moses," those were the first words. God knew who he was. And Moses was important to God. It's in the same way that you, your life, is important to God. God hasn't forgotten about you. He's calling you by name. For 40 years, Moses tended a flock that wasn't even his own. 40 years of the same routine. 40 years, day after day, Moses was doing the same thing. And while Moses saw himself as nothing more than a lowly shepherd, God saw him as a deliverer. He saw himself as just a lowly shepherd. He saw himself as just somebody who's tending sheep because of a mistake that he made. But can I encourage you tonight that even in the same way that a man who decided to leave a prince, a palace, and go down and to be a refuge because of a sin that he committed, God was reminding Moses that he wasn't just a shepherd, but God saw him as a deliverer. And God sees you in the same way. That the purpose that he placed inside of you is to help others experience the freedom that God's placed inside your heart. But the challenge for us as believers is that just like Moses, if we don't have the sensitivity, if we don't have the understanding, if we don't recognize of the words that God is speaking in the bush of what he's calling us, we would see ourselves only as shepherds and we would miss out on the fullness that God has for our lives. God's calling us deeper. God's calling us forward. But if we only see ourselves as shepherds and not in the fullness of what God has seen us and he's spoken over us, we will spend 40 more years tending sheep when we should have been the deliverers to the things that God called us to. The challenge for us tonight is to not miss the moment. To be stuck in the same routine because it's all we've known, because it's all we thought we're good for. I'm here to remind you, God is calling you by name and he hasn't forgotten about you. There was a season of my life before God called me into ministry. I was 18 years old, I just got radically saved, and I was trying to figure out what my next step was. And I was asking God, and when you're 18, 19, everything's pivotal. You're going, if I don't go to this specific college, man, my life is going to be over. If you don't have the answer, it's just all this pressure is beginning to kick in on you. And I remember being 18, 19, and feeling this pressure. So as I'm praying and I'm going, God, you put something inside of me. I know that you've called me to something, but I want to go play college basketball. I want to go to college. I want to do this, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Eventually, the Lord opened up an opportunity for just to get a normal job. And as I was sorting and trying to figure out what college and what am I going to do and what is it that he's calling me to, the Lord just opened up a job, and I was packaging energy drinks in a warehouse. And I was taking these energy drinks and I was putting them in boxes and then fulfilling bigger orders and shipping them out to 7-Elevens and all kinds of things. And the person that got me in was a friend of mine, a part of the church. And he says, Gio, there's a job, they pay well. Why don't you come and be a part of it? And I said, you know what, I'll just do it because I'm trying to figure it all out. So I said, yes. I jumped into this place and I was trying to figure out, God, what is it that you're asking of me? And I remember just this year and a half of being at this place where I thought God had forgotten about me. I didn't hear the clarity. I wasn't really sure. So what I decided to do was just double down. I worked my 8 to 5, and then from 5 to whatever time in the evening, I would go to the local church, and I would stack chairs, I would clean toilets, I would do all the things I could to just be in the building. And I did this for a year and a half, and the Lord was reminding me of this moment of my life. When I said yes to the job, what I didn't understand at that time was that I was saying yes to people in this building. It was a small organization, and the CEO of this building was a hippie who believed in New Age principles. My direct supervisor was a demoniac that played with Ouija boards. My coworker that I was working closely with was an atheist. And then my other coworker that I was working with was hurt by the church. And here I am in this place going, God, have you forgotten about me? And every day the Lord would say, just be a light, Gio. And I'm like, I don't want to be a light. These people are crazy. They hate me. And at first it started all good. And I'm there, oh, yeah, so glad. And suddenly my position there started to get further and further from the rooms that I was supposed to be in. Me being a light, I would go in there and I would challenge the thoughts and out of my zeal and ignorance, I'm just saying what I want to say out of scripture. And for a year and a half, it was just battle after battle every single day. Eventually, it became so tough for me that they actually moved me out of the warehouse and put me in my own warehouse. I was by myself in my own warehouse, packaging energy drinks from 8 to 5. And I was sitting there one time, the power cut out, and I'm sitting there in the dark packaging, just, and I'm crying out to God, going, God, have you forgotten about me? God goes, I haven't forgotten about you. I'm teaching you how to tend sheep that are not your own. I'm teaching you how to love people who don't love me. Because what I'm calling you requires this kind of preparation. And for some of us, what should only be a season of preparation has become a destination for us. Don't let seasons of preparation become destinations. When those seasons of you learning how to tend sheep for the kingdom of heaven, don't stay there. When God is simply calling you by name to remind you that you're the deliverer, that he's called you to be a light in different areas, to proclaim the gospel and to share the good news and to disciple those. God had to remind me in my own season before bringing me into ministry that he had not forgotten about me, but it was preparation needed for what was ahead. What looked like a season of obscurity was actually a season of preparation. Every day in the wilderness was the shaping of a man who would one day lead a nation. God used Moses tending another man's flock to lead sheep that were not his own and to lead a nation to the promised land. The Bible says in Zechariah 13:9, and I would bring the third part through fire and will refine them as silver is refined, and I would try them as gold. Before Moses can lead in the third part of his life, the last 40 years, His refinement had to be intentional by God. Tonight, if your life feels repetitive, if you're wondering where God sees you, remember Moses. Remember this moment that God has not forgotten, despite whatever sin, despite whatever situation you might have put yourself into, despite whatever it is, through God, God has the power to remind you that he's not done with you. He's not done with you. Look at your neighbor and say, he's not done with you. What feels like waiting may be preparation and refinement for what's to come. It's preparation and refinement from what God already set from the beginning. If he knew you and formed you, he already had his plan for you. Which means that those seasons of refinement are just seasons. But the challenge for us as believers is that in those years of preparation, if we don't rip a page out of Moses' book and recognize that when God shows up, we might miss when he calls us. There's two things I want us to consider tonight before we come to a close. It's just a reminder that God is not forgotten. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Number one, if Moses had a hard time hearing, he would have missed the commission of God. Exodus 3, verse 3 and 4 says this, then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called him into the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. It all started with sensitivity to God. Many of us desire for God to commission our lives. We pray for favor. We pray for open doors. We pray for the greater things to happen. We pray for the miracles. But yet we often resist the very thing that supersedes it all. Surrender. We pray for it all. God, give me the favor. And God's going, I need you to surrender. Give me the opportunity. Give me the open door. And God's going, surrender your heart for me. We miss or resist the very thing that precedes them. We want God's direction without first yielding our hearts and opening up our ears. It's the sensitivity that led him to God. When Moses encountered the burning bush, the miracle itself was not the destination. That wasn't the miracle. The story doesn't end with this miraculous phenomenon. And I got to be honest with you, I know there's believers and Christians and people that follow God that stop after the miracles come. They think that's the destination. But I want to challenge you tonight that the miracles that God does over your life, the miraculous phenomenons, aren't the final destination. It was God's voice that carried the assignment all the way through. Moses turns aside to see, but more importantly, the Bible describes that he listens. His sensitivity to God's voice is what changed the course of his life. John 10:27 says it like this, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. A life surrendered to God remains attentive to his spirit. It develops the discernment. It recognizes when he's leading or when he's speaking. And too often we become so focused on the miracle that we're missing the very words that God's using the miracles for. We're missing the message that's attached to it. We celebrate the sign. We celebrate it and we go, God, you've given us victory. But the thing that Moses is teaching us here is that in every miracle, there's an assignment that's attached to it. There's a word that's attached to it. It's that revelation. It's that transformation that's meant to change the heart to get you going in the direction of which God called you to. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we love this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. It's in the submitting. It's in recognizing the assignment, the words that God has attached to the miracles that makes our path straight. You might be tending some sheep. You might be in a job or a position. You might be doing something for 40 years, and you're going, God, when are you going to take me out of it? My encouragement is, have you heard the assignment or the word that God attached to that? Because when you submit your life to it, then the Bible describes, then your past becomes straight. That's when it becomes straight. It's in the submitting that sensitivity begins to grow. It's in the sensitivity to God that protects us from missing any divine direction. It keeps us from allowing pride, destruction, distraction, or even our own self-resilience to drown out his voice. When God opens the door, it's the sensitive heart that not only sees the opportunity that's available, but it hears the instructions that come with it. If we want to be led by God, we must first learn to listen to him. The miracle may get your attention, but it's God's voice that reveals the revelation. It's God's voice that reveals the instruction. Tonight, I believe that God is looking to open up not just our eyes to see that he's moving and working, but tonight, I believe God is looking to open up our ears as well. That we would hear the words in which he's been speaking to our lives, to hear the name that he's been calling you by for years, so that your past may become straight and that you can go be the deliverer that he called you to be. So I come to a close here. If you're taking notes, I want you to write down point number two. The Bible says that Moses had to be willing to take some things off. The first point is that Moses had a hard time hearing, he would have missed the commission of God. The second thing is that Moses had to be willing to take some things off as well. The Bible describes in Exodus 3, 5, and 6, it says that God says, don't draw near to this place, but take your sandals off your feet, for the place in where you stand is holy ground. The place in which you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Moses approached this burning bush, and God stopped him and said, don't come closer. Don't draw near anymore. Moses was captivated by the miracle, but God wanted his intention on something else. God wanted his attention to recognize that what he was stepping into was holiness. That when you respond to God, God is calling you higher. He's bringing you to a place of holiness. He's purifying you. He's challenging you. He's strengthening you because all of those things are needed for the journey that's ahead. It's important to know that the ground was not holy because of the bush. It wasn't holy because of this phenomenon miracle. It wasn't holy because the bush wasn't just burning to a crisp, but it was holy because God was there. That's why it was holy. Before Moses could receive his assignment, God commanded, really established reverence before relationship. He established worship before the work. He had to get Moses to a place of reverence and to a place of worship before being able to be commissioned by God. This moment reminds us that he's loving and he's personal, but he's also holy and he's set apart. The closer we draw to him, the more aware we become of our majesty, and the more aware we become dependable on his grace. So I come to a close and invite the worship team. I want to share just what was happening with Moses. It was reverence before relationship, and it was worship before the work. So many of us come to God and we go, God, commission me. And we have no reverence or relationship. We're going, God, give me the plan all the way at the end. God's going, no, I need you to see that I'm holy. And I'm calling you to holiness. I need you to know that I'm calling you to worship before I ask you to come to anything. And I believe wholeheartedly what God was teaching Moses in this moment was just that. To have a reverence, to have this sensitivity, to recognize that he's set apart amongst those that God is getting ready to call him to. And he had to have a heart of worship to stay true to the word of God. He had to have the sensitivity to be able to lead them out of Egypt. And he learned this simply by doing one simple thing, and it was taking off the sandals. The Bible described that he had to remove his sandals. Why was this so significant? Why does this matter? Why does this have to be in the scripture? because it shows that Moses was willing to get to a place of humility. That Moses was willing to take off his preferences and to recognize that God was asking something of him and he was preparing him for what's to come. See, in our humanity, we adopt things in our life. We adopt things on the journey, and we try to get God to accept rather than to let him purify. We go, God, these are the things that I had a journey through, so I need you to become okay with it. And God's going, I need you to take those things off. Oh, God, but you don't know the trauma that I've been through. God goes, I know, I've seen it. But what I'm calling you to requires you to take off those sandals, those preferences. God, you don't know how much it required of me to fight all the way through this. And God's going, no, I understand, but where I'm calling you requires to take it off. It requires humility. We're too quick to hold on to the sandals, and which are the very things that symbolize what we accomplish. We as a generation, those before and those after, are so focused on what they accomplish, so focused on the titles, so focused on the things that it cost them to get there. And God's going, I know it cost you, but where I'm calling you, it's costing you a little bit more. And it's costing you to take off those sandals and what you want to hold so desperately on to. Because I'm calling you to a place of holiness. I'm calling you to a deeper relationship with God. Some of us keep those things, not to just show God what we've been through, but to show others what we've been through. We keep them as proof for others to see, not realizing that it's costing us at the expense of holiness. It's costing us at a deeper relationship with God. It's costing us more than we realize. Just to prove to man, who can't save us, how good we are. And I love what God does to Moses. He says, take the sandals off, because what you're entering is holy ground. What you're entering to is God's house. And everything that you've carried up to this journey, the sins and the luxury, the journey, the life, I've seen it and I acknowledge it. But what I'm bringing it to is much greater than anything that you can keep on to yourself. So when we enter God's house, I think the challenge for us as believers is that oftentimes God's going, I need you to take these preferences off. I need you to take these sandals off. I believe God's instruction was practical, but it was also a challenge to the spiritual hearts. Too often we want things our own way more than his. We cling to the experiences. We cling to the things that we've accomplished. We cling to the title, to the CEO title, to the thousands of Instagram followers. We cling to the position, to the 40 years of tending flock. I've heard that 1,000 times. You don't know how long I've been working. I know. But you stayed in preparation when God called you. You made that a destination. And God's going, I'm trying to take you deeper. I'm trying to take you further. But it requires something of us as believers, and it's to take off the sandals. It's to step into a place of humility. It's to recognize that where God is bringing us is greater than anything we've ever been through. And what Moses was entering was holy ground. And I think the church body often misses this. We make it about the miracles. We make it about the revival. We make it about all the things that God's going, it's just pointing back to me. It's pointing back to me. All of it is about me. It's about me in the bush. It's about me in that healing. It's about me that's bringing your son home. It's about me that hasn't forgotten about you. It's all about me. It's all about me. But we miss it when we struggle to take these sandals off. We miss it because we're making it more about us. And tonight I believe God wants to do something different for us. I believe he wants to bring us to a place where we can wholeheartedly come to him and say, God, I'm willing to take these sandals off. And he shows us the fullness of his power and his love. To say, and I've been calling you by name, and I've been trying to remind you how much you matter to me. But it takes us as believers to say, I'm willing. I'm willing to do that. As we stand to our feet tonight, I don't know about you, but in our household, we're shoes off kind of people. Being honest with you, come over to our place, it's a shoes off kind of house. I don't want anything that you've trekked all the way through New York City, all over my rug, all over my house. I'm not working harder to clean just so that you keep your shoes on. Why? Because what we fail to recognize is that along the journey, along with those preferences that we're holding on to, we're picking up so much junk, so much dirt, so much things that require cleaning. And I believe when God was telling Moses this, he was saying, take it off. Because what I'm trying to do is purify you. What I'm trying to do is cleanse you. What I'm trying to do is something significant over your life. Because this whole entire time I've seen you as the deliverer, when you only saw yourself as the lowly shepherd. Tonight, I believe God is calling each and every one of us in some areas of our lives to take off our very own preferences. We've carried them as proof to prove to others how good we are. But God's going, in doing that, you're doing it at the expense of holiness and purity. You're doing it out of the expense of a deeper relationship with me. And I believe that God tonight wants to do something with that in our own hearts and our own lives. You know what's amazing is that taking off our sandals is this. It's giving up the rights to ourselves. It's giving up the rights of our own journey. Moses was giving up the rights so that he could be used by God. And any great man, any person used by God significantly usually gives up the rights to their own life because he died on the cross and already gave up his. It's out of the example of what he accomplished on that cross. Tonight, I believe that God is using burning bushes. Tonight, I believe that God is using miracles. Tonight, I believe that God is using all of these things to get our attention, so that we would be reminded of the fullness of his love, the purpose in our life, and what he's calling us to and where he's taking us. So tonight, as I end, I want to share just this last quote with you. Oswald Chambers said this. He said, the Spirit of God will show us what we need to surrender next. Along each step of this process, we will have to give up our claims to the right of ourselves. The Spirit of God will show us what we need to surrender next. Along each step of this process, we will have to give up the rights to ourselves. Tonight, I'm not sure where in your own heart God is asking you to give up the rights to yourself. Tonight, you might have shown up and just simply walked through these doors and thought, man, God, you've forgotten about me. Tonight, if that's you, you thought God's forgotten about you, you've been holding on to your sandals when he's been calling you deeper, you've made it about proving to others rather than living in the fullness and deepness of relationship with God. Maybe if you stay too long in an area, and God's going, I'm seeing you much more and I want to do something with it. If you're saying, Gio, that's me. I'm not going to ask you to close your eyes or bow your heads. That's you tonight. Could you just raise your hand for me? Just raise your hand. Tonight, I want to ask you if you could do something and just get out of your seats and come here to the front. Where you're stepping is holy ground. Every step that you take is you saying, God, I'm willing to take off my preferences. I'm willing to surrender the lie. I'm willing to hear your voice again and be reminded of the fullness of your love. I'm willing to experience the love and power that you have for me. You're saying, Gio, that's me. Our worship team is just going to begin to sing. And I want you to just stretch your hands to heaven right now and let God just begin to speak his words and his assignment over you.
As I walked through the door, I sensed your presence.
Church, if you could lift your hands and just begin to worship.
And I knew this was a place with love abounds. For the presence of the Lord Jehovah God abides here. For we are standing in his presence on a holy ground. We
decision that you're making tonight is to take those preferences off, to set your eyes back on him. Tonight, let his word and the assignment that's attached to it take you to where he's calling you to be the deliverer and to be used for the kingdom of heaven. So tonight, if that's you and you're making that decision, could you repeat this prayer after me? Say, dear Lord Jesus, forgive me for staying in places longer than I should. Tonight, I set my heart, I set my eyes back on you. And I ask that your words would speak to my life. Tonight, I'm taking off my preferences and I'm standing on holy ground. Tonight, I'm giving up my rights to be used by you. So have your way in Jesus' mighty name. And we say, amen. Come on, amen. Before we end, we never end a service without giving anybody the opportunity. If you've shown up here tonight and you haven't been born again and you haven't made that decision in your heart to make King over your Jesus over your life, and tonight you want to make that decision to become born again, the Bible says in Romans that when you confess with your mouth and you believe it in your heart, there you would receive salvation. And tonight we never like to end a service without giving anybody the opportunity for a moment like this. And so tonight, if you want to make that decision to become born again and give your life to Christ, to give up the rights of what we've been talking about so that his purpose and his plan over your life would be used for the kingdom of heaven. Could you just very quickly, just raise your hand for me. Just raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Tonight, church, can we repeat this prayer after me? Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. You faced hell for me so I would not have to go. And you rose from the dead to give me a purpose on earth and a relationship with your Father. Say it like you mean it. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name. Come on, church. And we all say, amen.